Greetings, everyone. Welcome. My name is Andy Neal, and you're listening to the Hiker Podcast. Greetings, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast that asks the why questions of hiking in the outdoors, the podcast that talks to hikers and outdoorsy people and asks them, how has the outdoors changed you and how are you changing the world around you? That's right. Of course, you're listening to, wait for it, the Hiker Podcast. Hiker Podcast is brought to you by Canuck Outdoors and Gregory Mountain Products. You may know them as Gregory Packs, makers of the one, and actually more than one, makers of the first plus size pack line. Make sure you give them both a follow. Canuck Outdoors is going through some changes right now, good changes, and I'm not talking about the carbon fiber cork trekking poles because there's some stuff going on with carbon fiber cork trekking poles. Good things. I'm excited with Canuck. With Gregory, you can pick up a Gregory pack, plus size pack, or standard size pack, and use code Andy15. Let them know you got it from me. Get 15% off, and it helps me out immensely. And thank you all for being so cool and patient with me as I'm rolling the podcast back out. I'm super excited. I'm also super excited about this week's guest, Roland Tizuela from Canthropology. You may know him on the Instagrams, showing you how to be a safe, responsible, and clean camper, whether you're backpacking or car camping. Amazing stuff Roland is doing. And we could have talked for like another hour, and I could sit here and just pontificate forever about Roland and everything he's doing, but I'm gonna let you listen to the conversation. I was gonna edit this out, but I'm not gonna edit this out. And during the conversation, at some point, my daughter hooked up her phone to my Bluetooth speaker that was in my recording studio, and it was on. And so you hear a little intro thing. You know what? It's endearing. I was like, oh, I need to edit it out. No, I'm not gonna edit it out. I'm gonna keep it in there. So you're gonna hear that just momentarily. I think it's funny. I do. I tell my listeners, hey, you know, we try to not to do any edits unless absolutely necessary. And, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, that needs to be true for myself. Anyways, so without any further ado or pontificating, which I said I wasn't going to do, now I'm going to do as I keep talking. My conversation with TikTok's Canthropology, Roland Tizuela. So many of you may know our next guest from TikTok. If you've ever looked for camping recommendations on what to bring or how to poop, you know our next guest, Roland Tizuela from Canthropology. Roland, how you doing?
I am doing amazing. Thank you so much for having me on here, Andy. This is an honor. It's so surreal to be on your podcast. This is so cool.
I'm not even sure how we at some point, your stuff just started coming across my TikTok, and I still, you know, I'm an elder millennial, so I'm still not quite sure how TikTok works. Like, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I remember, I feel like I know the day you joined TikTok because that algorithm, I was like, oh, whoa, Andy's here. And I think I might have commented really early on one of your first posts, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I was like, TikTok's like legit now. Andy's here.
I was like, it's so cool. I had like 50. I had TikTok for a while, and I had like maybe not even 50. I had like 25 followers, but then the stupid hike for stupid mental health video came out. And I what's funny about that is I did it on Instagram and it blew up, and then I put it on TikTok, and I did like, it still had the Instagram watermark on it.
Oh, and you did and good went, still? Oh, that means
It went viral on TikTok. I'm like, what the heck? And all of a sudden I had 5,000 followers on TikTok. I'm like, I don't even know how this works.
That's against all odds. That's the quality content right there. Watermark, regardless, it took off. That's awesome.
That was funny. So if our listeners don't know who you are, just give a rundown. Who you are, where you come from, someone's to run into you, you know, on the campsite. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I'm just, I guess it's weird to say, but I've started my TikTok in April of 2022. And I was initially wanted to just put on camping videos, you know, like setting up tents and stuff. I really liked all the overlanding channels. So initially that was like what I was going for. But what I really found where there was a lot of value is kind of camping 101 stuff. I started to get a little bit of a following when some of my videos got some traction. And a lot of people just wanted to know, like, hey, how do you set up a tent? You know, how do you go poop when you're camping if you're dispersed camping, you know? And then so I was really like, wow, I think that more than trying to go for this flashy, fancy stuff, like it really allowed me to revisit some of my camp setups, you know, like, because I set up my tent thousands of times, when somebody's like, how do you set up a tent? I really had to like take a step back and be like, wait, why do I set it up this way? You know, so it really allowed me to explore a lot of my procedures too. So that's when I was like, oh, cool. Let's just back to basics, you know? And I think that I really started looking at how in the outdoor industry, a lot of times it seems unattainable to people, you know, especially POC me, you know, me being, people are seeing me and they're like, oh, wow. Like, did you grow up camping? I'm like, I was fortunate enough to have my parents take me and really instill a value in nature to me. But a lot of my friends even too, they're like, why are you camping out there? And then I would take them, you know, and show them. And they always thought like, wow, I always thought it was like, you know, because it is, it's very expensive for gear sometimes, not knowing the community. Limited access looks different to a lot of people. It can be information, community, gear. So I was like, well, at least I can provide information right now for free, you know, on TikTok. And I just started kind of loving the creation too. TikTok was like a huge thing where a lot of my passions kind of came together. Like, I used to do a lot of like spoken word poetry, and even like, you know, when I first started doing voiceovers, it was weird to get used to, but I saw a lot of similarities in like, you know, pacing your words, pronunciation. I do a lot of like music creation too. So selecting songs, like just like curating something that feels good to me. And I'm so excited when it felt good to other people too, apparently. And I guess that's why people follow us, you know? So that was inspiring and exciting to me for sure.
So prior to when you started TikTok in April of last year, which is crazy, it's blown up that quickly. Insane how the algorithm works and how your content has been so well received. How did you get into camping in the outdoors? I mean, you're in Southern California, right?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego. Yeah.
So yeah, that's not an area that's known for, Southern California in general, known for being outdoorsy and camping, but unless you've lived there.
Yeah, totally.
You realize, oh my gosh, there's so many outdoor opportunities, whether it's surfing, camping, hiking, whatever. How'd you get into the outdoors and hiking or camping?
It's actually kind of a funny story. So like I said, I grew up going camping, but not avidly. My parents did enough to get me to, you know, have the wonder of camping. And actually, I think I was a late adopter to like Walking Dead. And the funny story is, like, I was walking and I love gear. I've always loved gear, whether it's camera gear. So I started getting into, like, I guess because there's a very big overlay in like camping and like prepping too. So I started getting like tent and like, I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. Like, you know, just have to, you know, if something goes wrong, like, could I survive out there? Even, you know, with proper gear. So that was like in 2016. That was before 2016. That was like probably 2013 or 14. And then I actually ended up going to UCSD. So I would camp here and there, and I ended up going to UCSD. I was in a McNair Scholar, and basically I got to do this like grad level research as an undergrad because all my professors wanted me to go to grad school. So like, that's the camthropology. I was an anthropology major. So I kind of folded that in. I was like, let's just try to, you know, I was like, I want to do my research on something that I love. And then I really have always, like I said, have been enthralled with how much nature can make you feel so good. You know, just like looking, going outside, you know, after you've been inside for a while, like just literally stepping out. I'm like, I know you advocate too for outside can be your backyard. I'm a huge person for that too. You know, beginning campers, set up your tent in your backyard. You know, that's outside too. So I decided to do my research on the McNair program on transformative aspects of long distance hiking, basically. So we have the start of the Pacific Crest Trail. I know you spend some time on it up there in Campo in San Diego. So I talked to my mentor professor and I was like, hey, what about, because I loved hiking, you know, I was like, oh, this would be cool to get like a little research stipend and be able to hike and do what I love. So so I worked with him through a project and he's like, yeah, I think you have something there. So I did the first 100 miles straight through, just to, because in anthropology, a big research method is participant observation. So I had to get my quote unquote, my feet dirty, you know? So I did the first 100 miles and then I kind of yo-yoed back and forth interviewing people in 2016 and a little bit of 2017 too. And just basically interviewed him. That's when I was introduced to like trail angeling. So that was a great research method. You know, you pull up to a trailhead with a cooler full of, you know, soda, water, beer, and hot dogs, and a chair, which, you know, and hikers will sit there and talk to you forever. That the chair thing was a big turning point. And I just interviewed hikers and, you know, talk to them about their experience. Like, I was super interested in weird stuff. Like, oh, look, like I'd love finding hiker trash because it was information about, oh, this is what they're eating, you know, like, or stuff from their packs. I was like, can I just look through your trash pack? They're like, why do you want to see my trash pack? I'm curious, you know, about what you eat or what you carry. And, you know, the ultralight thing, it just blew my mind. And then after I graduated in 2020, so I graduated in 2018 and I just was avid camper after that. I was super enthralled. And then in 2020, you know, when everything happened, I bought an Outback. And when everything was closed, I was like, this is my ticket to still get outside. And that's when I discovered like dispersed camping. And even though campgrounds were closed, it was really cool to be able to still get out. And I've almost been camping, it's kind of crazy to say, but like probably three times a month since 2020, since like May when I bought my Outback of 2020.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's been a lot of camping. I absolutely love it. It's not normal, I feel like, but I love it for sure.
So you did this research project, the Canthropology, through UCSD. You're talking to PCT hikers. What was the impetus of starting a TikTok, and did you expect it to be so well received?
I did not, because I think with like a lot of content creators, like I have a lot of what do they call them, like, a graveyard of attempts of, you know, social media. And I think a lot of that too was just us getting used to creating content. You know, like I have a bag channel on YouTube called Ultimate Bag Guy, because I love bags and, you know, satchels, purses, whatever you may call them. I have one on my everyday carry. And so that's out there somewhere. I have an old hiking channel somewhere out there. So when I started TikTok, I was like, okay, well, I heard a lot about TikTok before I downloaded it, because like I said, I was a late adopter, but I really made a note because I heard of the algorithm and I was like, wow, this is really making some waves in like the tech space. You know, I'm not in tech, but I love it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I made a really conscious, and anybody that downloads TikTok, you know, this is a great topic with everything going now. I'm always like, be very present and intentional in how you're using the app. And I know it sounds weird for technology, but it feels different than Instagram, than Facebook, than all the other platforms. So I was just, it was a little just like a social experiment for myself, you know, to see how this platform acted, you know, how this algorithm worked. And I think I probably only had like five or six videos up before one got some traction. And I was like, whoa, that was the first time I've ever experienced, like, you know, how it comes in waves a lot of times, you know, your followers and the virality, I guess you can say. And I was just, every time I had to turn off all notifications on my phone. I was like, this is too crazy. I was like, there's no way I can, like, I was at work and all of a sudden my phone's like, I was like, who is texting me so much right now? And it was like, bzz, 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 and then bzz, I think, bzz, 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 yeah. Exactly. And I think my first like 20,000 was like in a matter of a day. And I was like, oh my, what is going on? You know, and I kind of like started thinking like, wow, maybe people really do like camping and like outdoor stuff, you know, like I thought it'd be boring to a lot of people, you know, or like a lot of my followers now want me to do vlogs on YouTube. And I'm like, in the videos, you see me saying, I hope you guys are enjoying this, because it's kind of just like hanging out. Like, I'm not a climber, you know, I've hiked before. I'm not like in a hiking phase of my life. So I just like to like hang out at camp with a nice beverage and, you know, and listen. I write poetry, like I make digital music sometimes. So I was so surprised, back to your question, that it got traction at all, to be honest.
It's funny you say how, you know, you had several kind of false starts and attempts at social media. I'm the same way. There's so many things I try, because I love social media. My degree is in digital cinema, but there was so much in my degree of just the social media and digital component. And there's so many things just didn't have traction. And I just kind of gave up. I was like, oh, whatever. And I got into hiking after I graduated, and I just like, oh, I'll just change my name to Andy Films and Hikes. I love film and I love hiking. And it was a slow go until one day on a whim, I created something and it was like, oh, I get home. Yeah. Oh crap. What the new ABC is calling me. Oh crap.
Yeah. That was a quick thing. Yeah. Into the stratosphere with that video. Yeah. Is that like what? 36 million right now?
37.4 million.
Wow, that's insane. That's really cool.
What's it like to be like, your name comes up a lot when talking to other, you know, camping and outdoors. What's it like to be a part of that industry now where, you know, people want your, companies want your attention? I'm assuming you're probably like, they're reaching out, sending gear or whatever. What's that like now?
Yeah, it's actually the first experience. I mean, one of the first, which is crazy. People are like, "What was your first partnership?" I did a one with a local brewery here that was really fun. But like in that same couple weeks, I know you're a Columbia model too. Columbia reached out to me, and that I thought it was, honestly, I thought it was a scam when I first saw the email. I was like, "There's no
my
way."
The first time they called me, I was like, "No, no, no, yeah, funny, funny." Because I knew people that knew I loved Columbia. Like, yeah, funny, ha ha ha. Click.
Yeah. So I was like, "What? That is insane." And when it ended up being legit, you know, and getting a lot of brand partnerships too. One of the things, like being, I was so surprised that I reached out to some creators too on TikTok, like, "Hey, I have no clue what I'm doing here. Like, what, I didn't know what a media kit was." I'm like, what do you price your stuff at? You know, like it was kind of like a lot of flashbacks, you know, to being an artist where you're trying to gauge, like, what is my value here? And so many people were so supportive. Other TikTokers were like, "Yo, like, this is valuable. Like, you know, here's," they sent me their media kits, like, considering everything's, you know, part of engagement rate and following, you know, tweak it to like how you will feel fit and comfortable. But a lot of them were like, you know, just, I think I just really needed that like support too, because I, like, I don't have any in my real life. I don't have any friends that are creators. And this is the first time that I've really built community or been part of community online. And that was so amazing to see how like it was, it's so extreme. I wasn't expecting that at all. And moving forth, talking to brands with confidence, definitely, I think, changes the landscape of getting partnerships for sure. Especially, you know, I'm 35 too, so I'm like an older millennial as well. I think that taking it seriously, and like, you know, we were kind of the generation to not grow up with computers, so we know how to talk to people and write emails and be professional. You'd be surprised how many brands are like, "Wow, like the second time working with them, they're like, this, you've made it extremely easy. Like, we're willing to work with you again." Cause in some of them that I've gotten like the close relationships to, like, you'd be surprised how many like influencers will just respond with like, "Okay." I'm like, "Whoa."
Or they ghost them for a week or two before they
respond. So I try to get back to, and then I'm tweaking it too. Like, you know, I try to get back, even the brands that are smaller, or the brands that are, you know, bigger, like, I try to respond to everybody. Like, if I have space for it, I'll definitely do it. Especially, like, I really like working with smaller brands. That's like my heart work, you know. But I do like, I, you know, working with the big brands as well is awesome too. It's just a huge spectrum of experience that I've never thought I would have, and I'm still navigating it, as you can probably hear. Like, I'm working through thoughts as I'm saying them, because the experience is still unfolding. As like, literally, like this week, I have to reach back to some brands, and I'm like thinking about them and the experience of that as well.
How do you think, there's definitely been a shift. I remember back, the movie Wild with Reese Witherspoon, it's real big here in Ashland, you know, cause they filmed part of it here, her joining the PCT. I remember when that came out, the PCT association said that the number one driver of getting people, on the PCT was Cheryl Strayed's book and then the movie. Mm-hmm. Now they say it's Instagram and TikTok. There's been this definite shift of why people, if they see, you know, people like Darwin and other people getting out there and getting on the trail, and they're seeing these quick little, you know, snippets of, "Oh, I want to go back to PCT," and they're getting out there. And it's definitely changed the landscape of the outdoor industry in general. What's your take on that? Obviously, as creators, it's been good for us to see that, because it's a way we can move our own personal brand and even you know, create a little bit of a living. But do you think it's a net positive, especially with after COVID, seeing all these people get out there for the first time, and really, you know, we tell people get outside and unplug, yet, you know, we go with our phones and we're like, you know, filming stuff. Is there a tension there? I guess that's my question. Is there a tension there? You know, being a creator, you know, so high, you know, so tied to technology, but being out in the outdoors where we're, you know, getting away from it all.
Definitely. I think, I don't know so far as like a tension, but I can definitely see two different sides of that. So when I was doing my research, obviously that was before TikTok, and I was out there on the trail. And then it's so funny, because when last year around April is when I started my TikTok, and then I think March the permits are released to start. Immediately, as the algorithm knew me, I started getting PCT hikers, and I was like, "This is amazing!" You know, like, first of all, one, this would have made my research so much easier, but I also would have still would like to go out there. But I think last year I followed like 20 to 30 hikers that were starting, and you know, they were updating all the time, which was amazing to see. But I can also see the side where people were like, oh, well, you're supposed to unplug and everybody's out there on the trail. And then that's when it's like the hike your own hike, you know, as long as you're not disturbing anybody else's hike, like, you know, I'm one of my favorite things to do when I'm on a long hike is talk to myself. So it's like, whether I have a phone like this or not, yeah. Like, you know,
I'm
like
talking either way.
Exactly. I'm talking, I'm singing, like I'm talking either way, you know? So I think that it is definitely a net positive, because I think that people can have an insight into that trail life. People that may have thought, like I said, it wasn't attainable, and they're seeing all types of people, you know, different colors, different bodies, different levels of experience attempting it. You know, even people that get off the trail, I'm like, that's great, man. If you only get 5 miles, 2 miles into the PZT, and you want to do the whole thing, at least now, you know, come back later, let your body heal, take 100 zero days, take a 0 year, and come back and hike the trail. So I think it's cool to see, because I feel like before that, even when I was, and I think that's why the book Wild too definitely got people like, wow, you know, just a normal person was going to do it. I feel like a lot of times people might think of, you know, the PCT like Everest, and not to say that you shouldn't prepare for it. Like safety is a huge thing, you know, information, you know, conditioning yourself, like by all means, you definitely need to be prepared. But and I think, so that's where this technology, I think, is the bridge there, because we can provide information for people to be prepared. Whereas prior to that, it was almost like, okay, so if we decided to, you know, hey, Andy, let's go hike Everest, you know, next year, it's like, mm-hmm. where would we even start looking for that information, you know? And prior to that, it's like you had to know someone, be connected, you know, you'd have to be able to pay for resources to find those things. I think it's so cool that it's the Pacific Crest Trail, which is a huge undertaking as well, but you can go on TikTok and find, you know, safety tips, things about Garmin inreaches, yeah. you know, things about how to eat, gear, you know, here's what you should train. I mean, like some things you can't train for. I feel like I trained a long time. My feet, my body felt, I mean, my legs felt great. Everything felt great. My feet just deteriorated. You know, mm-hmm. like I was like the one thing that I couldn't really inclines and declines. I was like, gosh, my everything feels so good. But like, I'm like hobbling because my blisters, like I didn't even know I had skin there. I was like, what's going on? So you can, you know, preparing, you can't, you sometimes things just happen. But then if you see a video on that, and I literally like, it was off the trail. This is like, you know, a couple months ago, I looked up blisters in Pacific Crest Trail, and they were like moleskin, and people, some using like duct tape and like all kinds of, and I was like, wow, this would have been great if I had known that when I was hiking, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely a net positive, like you were saying, but I can definitely see how, you know, I guess in every hobby, there's like the, you know, the soul people that, you know, will not approve of technology on trail. I personally don't mind it. And as long as your hike isn't affecting anybody, like, you know, greatly, like I'm like, do it, man. I love seeing it, you know, and I think it's great to give people visual access to the trail too. Blew my mind. You know, it's like before this, yes. people had like, you know, the big pinnacle points of the trail that's beautiful, you know. Now you're just seeing people, you know, huffing and puffing in like a 5 minute video and just like the desert. And it's just like, whoa, that has a whole different feel to it as well. So I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. It's funny you talk about like the moleskins and stuff. Like I've used things I've learned on TikTok and Instagram for like blisters and stuff. Like at Disneyland. Like I took my blister kit with me to Disneyland. And hold on 1 second.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah. See, that's I love too. Some of my content I've been trying to want to push is like how camping can help you in your personal life too. Like everyday carry is like, basically when you're hiking, you have an everyday carry, but it's like every hike carry. And a mm-hmm. lot of that stuff I use in my normal life too. Like I always have a flashlight on me, a little tiny first aid kit, cause you never know, Band-Aids. Yep. And that's like made my, I don't know, what do we call it? Off trail, off out, no, indoor life, you know? Just off out of outdoor life, like a lot more comfortable. And I think there's a lot more confidence too. And one of the questions I get a lot is like, you know, having so much stuff and preparing. And I like, I'm a big advocate for having a plan allows for spontaneity, because you will be confident in yourself, in your gear, or whether your shoes, you know, it's like, maybe I can push myself a little bit more this time because I feel confident and I've used my gear and stuff before. And so just like you with going to Disneyland with moleskin, it's like it makes your experiences so much better because know you can take care of it, you know.
Yep. So how do you come up with the ideas? I mean, you're coming out with so much content. what's your process like for creating a video on, you know, whatever, you know, what's that process like each week, each day for putting content out there? Or is it just kind of, I know creators, you know, they plan things out for 3 months. Others just kind of like, well, I'm gonna do something this morning, I'll figure it out. Are you somewhere in the middle? Are you on one end or the other?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to have some kind of, I mean, there is a method to the madness, but I've talked to so many creators that have like a very, you know, system that they will, you know, and they say that once you have your system in place, that will get you through the times where, luckily I haven't felt burnout yet. Like, I'm so fortunate. But a lot of the creators, like, sometimes you're going to get to a point where like you don't want to do it. But if you have a system in place of like how you create, that'll get you through those times because you just stick to the system. You know, it's like, so I'm trying to get a system, but as of right now, like, I just love, I've never been, you know, I've never had any classical training in filming or anything. And like, so I'm like, you know, even storage is a huge thing that I'm dealing with right now. Like, I have the smallest iPhone, and then when I'm out there with no service, it cuts off my stuff to go and delete videos. But mostly I just take the mentality of like, I constantly remind myself that like people just want to see simple everyday stuff. So like, I'm like, I'll have my phone out. And we're like, whenever I feel like, oh, this is kind of cool, like, I'll just like do a little film. I think voiceover was, I never used voiceover before, and I think that opens up so mm-hmm. many possibilities.
Yeah.
So I try to get a little bit of every aspect of any camping trip I go on, you know, even if it's not, I'm not doing like a review or I'm holding something, to do a voiceover. And then I just upload it into, you know, an editor, and whether it's on my desktop or my phone, and then I kind of just let my mind, you know, feel what I feel in a way, you know, that's what I really love about that creative process. And it's like sculpting, you know, you're cutting stuff off, you're adding stuff, the music. But I don't have a method right now, except for it's kind of everywhere. So I'm in the process of trying to streamline a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'm there as well. I have Reels main backed up, and then there's some days I'm just like, oh, that's a good idea, I'm going to do this now. And then those are always the ones that seem to take off, the ones that I do on a whim. It's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. Well, that escalated very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you work a lot with brands in the outdoor industry. What has that been like? Just I'm always interested to talk with other creators in the outdoor industry, because this is a billion-dollar industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of their advertising is now going into creators. What has been your experience working, you know, of course, name brands, but, you know, working with brands, has it been that positive? Where can things improve? How can brands improve on reaching out to groups who don't normally seem outdoorsy? What's been your experience like?
I think it's overall, it's really positive. And the funny thing is, I haven't really worked with a ton of brands. A lot of the stuff I do, like, you know, I'm a stickler for rules. So, you know, like, everything that I will have the hashtag ad or paid partnership. And a lot of my stuff isn't sponsored. You know, a lot of, I feel like one of the strategies that I was going for too, is that a lot of the gear that I work, that I use wasn't there. They didn't have TikTok accounts when I started. So in my mind, I was like, well, once they come on TikTok, you know, everybody's going to search their own hashtag. And I want my videos to come up that I'm already using your stuff. And I'm a big advocate too for my followers. I was like, I have gear that I've used for years. And like, those are the brands that I you know, really excite me, especially when those brands started reaching out to me. But I haven't done almost zero pitching. And that's like really intimidating to me. But working with brands has been an overall plus. You know, it's really cool to see how some brands are like, hey, we trust you in your process, get it to us by this date. And then some brands are like, hey, we want a, you know, shot list, we want, you know, what do you call it, like a script, they want edits. Yep. And stuff. But I mean, a lot of times those are the brands too that pay a lot more, and I'm like, well, I can understand that, because, you know, you want a whole bunch of edits and this and that. Not to say that it's a bad thing, that's just part of the artistic process when you have a brand. Yeah. And yourself, you know, you basically are creating this, you know, art piece for everybody. It's a collaborative, you know, a collaborative art piece. So I totally understand that, but definitely there's a whole stream of people that are in companies that, you know, from high demand to like super chill. And I love all of them so far. You know, I haven't had a really bad experience where I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Everybody's been willing to work with me, you know, like either like demands or like licensing's a huge thing. Like, I didn't know about in perpetuity, you know, until I started talking to other creators. Yeah. And they're like, everybody's going to try to get that from you. you know, and it's up to you. If you want to do it, you can, you know, but just, then they're like, but think of it this way, and blah, 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 like down the road, what can happen. So it's been a huge learning curve and a learning process, but I don't think I've had any really negative experiences thus far, for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So shifting gears here, what is, I'm sure people reach out in your DMs about your questions for camping. What has been like the number one thing you'd say people who are getting into camping or getting back into camping are concerned and worry about, especially in this culture where everyone, you know, the outdoor industry is blowing up and people are getting into outdoors like never before. What's kind of the biggest concerns or questions you're getting as a creator? Because I'm sure you're fielding a lot of questions in the comments and in the DMs.
Definitely. I think for sure what comes to my mind right away is a lot of people don't know how to find campsites, you know, and that's a whole can of worm of conversations too when it comes to, first and foremost, like every campsite website. So whether you're dealing with that's reservable, so, you know, state parks, cities have campsites, everybody has a completely different process. So I've been wanting to do like a video of like, this is how you find a campsite, but everything is completely different and they're really confusing. So one of the things I do on my lives on TikTok is I'll say, hey, somebody let me know where you want to camp, and I'll put my phone on my screen. I'm like, this is my process. It's dirty and it's messy, and I have like 4 or 5 tabs up, but this is what I do to help you find a campground. And a lot of times too, especially with the newer campers, I like to recommend sites that have, you know, flush bathrooms, hot showers, a ranger on site. Because I think a lot of times after that question of how do you find campsites, the next question is like, do you feel safe out there? You know, what happens? A lot of people are, you know, concerned about the unknown of things that can happen. So, and the majority of my followers are new campers for sure. And then as you kind of go up the tiers, you know, you go from like a reservable national forest or state park campsite, then they also have like first come, first served campsites. So it's a vault bathroom, so they're not as clean, you know, sometimes they have potable water, sometimes they don't. Sometimes there's a picnic table, you know, and then there's like dispersed camping, you know, and then there's like yellow post camping, to the point where, like, I guess you're completely self-sufficient, where you're bringing your water, your toilet set up, you know, your trash to pack everything out. Even your fire pits, if they allow fires, you know, I'm a big safety advocate for fire bans too. So those are the two probably main questions. And then you have the whole conversation of like, you know, people gatekeeping spots, you know, and I see both sides of that too. And my thing is like, I want to show people how to find those sites, you know, like, even because I understand that some of the sites, you know, especially the dispersed ones, don't have a lot of resources for the National Forest to get out there. And let's say there was a bunch of trash. If everybody's doing their part, so that's why I'll definitely teach people to how to camp properly before I'll share that site. But I have no problem sharing it, but I want my community to know, like, to be the community out there that's prepared and ready, you know, like, for example, I see during fire season in SoCal, everybody knows how bad it is. A lot of times I see during fire season, like, probably like tens of videos that like of people getting so upset for people leaving campfires smoldering, which is valid. Like, I get so upset with that too, but they never follow up with, this is how you properly put out a campfire, you know? So I'm like, I get that. That's horrible to do that, but follow it up with like, hey, this is, if you're out here, these are different ways. If you have water, if you don't have water, you know, drown, stir, feel, these are resources where you can learn how, this is where you actually to get a permit that you really need in Southern California, whether you have a gas stove. It's like, I want my community and my people to be the ones that are equally outraged, but also want to educate people. Cause some people may just not know. Not everybody, you know, is an a-hole out there, you know, some people may just not know, especially new campers or new hikers.
And that's one thing you talk about, gatekeeping. It's so important to make sure that we're showing people, you know, a little bit of grace, because people like, they think, oh, it's okay to, you know, we'll burn our trash at the end of it. Like, nah, you don't do that. But it just makes sense. Like, oh, well, it's turning into ash and things like that, especially, you know, living on the West Coast with all the fires and all the issues like that. We have to be able to show people. And I'm for a while before I became a full-time creator, I was real big on, you know, I don't put geo tags of where I'm at and this, that. And I've switched that because I've realized, you know, it's okay, you know, to show people, oh, this is where this trail is, or this waterfall, this overlook that maybe not a lot of people know about. But at the same time, I'm always talking about LNT, Leave No Trace principles, and how do we take care of this? And ultimately bring more attention to this, it'll bring more people, which will bring more funding, mm-hmm. hopefully from the Forest Service.
We hope
will happen.
yeah.
But there's still those people who, you know, will get on like, you know, this water is one waterfall I put on my Instagram, and locals were not happy with me at all.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah,
like, oh, this is now this place is going to be flooded. And I'm like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
At the same time, why do I need to keep that to myself? Why do I need to keep this information to myself? And it's this weird tension and balance. But I love that people want to know. People generally want to do the right thing when it comes to the outdoors. They just don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Besides just making those educational videos, what are some things that everyone can do to help other people know? Like, there's the awkwardness of, you see someone doing something wrong. Do you say something? Do you not say something?
Yeah.
Well, on the campsite? What's your
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm so non-confrontational. I'll just be like, we'll just wait till they leave and then I'll go pick it up.
That's like me, you know? Like, I'm the same way.
It's funny because I feel like I'm like, people like, wow, but you're so confident on TikTok. I'm like, yeah, but like, I don't want to like, who knows, like going out there, like, I don't want to ruin anybody's time. Like, I'll just do it. So I'm the wrong person to ask for that. I mean, I think it's good. So I work for a local municipality here in San Diego too. So I see it even like at our beaches, you know, where beaches, people come and leave trash everywhere, you know, like and those are places where there's trash cans, you know, 5 feet away, or on your way back to the car, you're going to be within, you know, arm's reach of a trash can, and they still leave trash on the beach, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, is it a signage thing? I think it's mostly an awareness and an educational thing. So like my kind of like overall goal is like, because there's a lot of different conversations that come up with new campers or new outdoors people, you know, like, if we can, as creators, take on the responsibility to properly educate and lay a solid foundation, hopefully those people obviously will love the outdoors too, therefore start to care about the outdoors, therefore that awareness spreads, you know, like, because I have a buddy too, like that, like literally, like I took him hiking one time and banana peel on the trail, he's like, it's biodegradable. So, you know, I had the whole conversation with him.
Yep.
And then the next time I went hiking with him, I didn't have to say anything. He just put his banana peel in his bag. And I was like, almost like I had a little tear shed for my eye. And I was like, wow, cool. It's like, just, you know, just educating people and sharing information can make, instead of just yelling at him, like, you're not supposed to do that. Well, he's like, why? You know, it's like, well, just because. Like, you can tell he had a process. And so the next time, that's the goal of us providing information in the outdoor community, is to get people to care and understand why, you know, and educate them so that everybody can be outdoors safely, you know, cleanly, you know. My whole thing is keep it safe, keep it clean, and keep yourself informed. Yep. You know, that's like my main pillars of like building a community outdoors and allowing people to get outdoors, you know, and showing them outdoor stuff for sure.
So what are some things you'd like to see in the camping world? It is complicated because you have your city municipality campsites, and then you got county, and then, you know, state, and then you got lotteries, and then you got, you know, recreation.gov, the app. There's so many different processes on getting and finding campsites. What are some things, you know, as someone who's, you know, I got accounts with all the different things, there were counties around me, state, and got California and Oregon, because I live right on the border. What are some things you think that the municipalities and the governmental agencies can do to make camping both more accessible and easier, but at the same time, help with, you know, keeping the environment, keeping the wild in general?
Yeah, so that's kind of a thing too, like when we were talking about how, you know, eventually the money, you know, and the resources will, as people get to, you know, more outdoor spaces. But from what I've seen personally, like I said, working for a local municipality, it's a growing pain for sure. Like, okay, so let's say we have one, you know, person that is in charge of, let's say, like trash pickup. So when you go to a campground, you have a trash can that gets emptied by somebody when you're going there, you know. It's all, if all of a sudden that campground is fully booked for like 5 months straight, you will start to see trash everywhere. You will start to see, you know, animals coming in, because that the capacity to handle that amount of people is overgrown. And until whatever the city or the campsite or the campground, they have to see that problem, and then they'll ask for funding to hire another person to also be there. But that's part of that growing pain, unfortunately, is you will see it get kind of worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, being in the creator kind of technology space, like, I'm a big advocate for, like, dude, it'd be so cool if, like, hey, before you come to this campground, scan this QR code. We're going to have like five videos about like, hey, this is what you should do with your trash. You know, this is what you should, you know, do if something happens. If you see an animal, this is how you could store your food. And because we're so good at like short form content in this day and age, so somebody could easily take 5 minutes right when they get to their site and look at all these things like, oh, cool. And it can be shot at their campsite with their resources. You know, like I think that's where the, you know, creator space can definitely. So going back to working with brands, not just working with us for their advertising, but like working with us as like consultants, whether it be for gear or things like that. I think that we can provide so much value to a generation that's coming up that is comfortable and knows how to use this stuff, you know, but also too, you know, keep in mind the older generations too also have the old school, you know, every trailhead has a thing with information as well. Something like that, you know, that has, you know, information for them in picture form, you know, in so that you can read it and it's readily available so that we can keep it inclusive with everybody, because not everybody has access to a cell phone. Sometimes people go camping with no cell phone.
Yeah, but, purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's no, in the, but you know, hopefully those people know what they're doing, because that, you know, they hopefully it doesn't get dangerous for them. But as far as trying to bridge that gap between allowing people to be outside and educating people, but also not having that little growing pain, like that's in my mind all the time. Like, how do we just, or we convince, you know, the forestry service or the people like, hey, this place is going to get a lot of, you know, traction, hire someone. That almost, that will probably almost never happen. They usually have to see it getting worse before they can get resources for it. So people have to understand that as well. It's just a growing pain. If you look at it that way, like if it continues to be packed and they continue to see an impact on, you know, trash or trails or social trails or whatever, then the resources will come right after that. And so if we can solve that somehow, I feel like that would be extremely beneficial to the people that are concerned about, you know, spots getting blown up. And it would also the concerns of people that are first time campers. Like that's that bump where when people are in there, that's when all those conversations start online that get really heated, you know, because there's, but there, right now I can't see a way around it, but I think that with all of our heads together, we could definitely find a way to get around that bump, you know, and smooth that over for sure.
I love the idea of working with brands and the governmental agencies and creators. Cause I know I was talking with, I was at a snow park, that's in National Forest here in, someone from the Forest Service was coming out to clean up the pit toilets and everything. And I was talking to him and he had to like cover like 100 miles along this road.
Yeah.
Like, and there, I mean, just off the top of my head, I can think of a dozen campsites alone. And he has to go through those in on top of, you know, the picnic sites, on top of, it was a snow park there. All those places he has to go to, like, dang. And the snow park we were at was crammed that day.
Yeah.
There was a ton of trash. People were leaving sleds that had broken apart and just leaving them there. Kids were going up the hill and grabbing them for them. It was fun. But that, it, the only way to get more people is there needs to be a perceived need by the governmental agencies.
Yeah.
But also working with brands, I had an instance where I was talking with someone from National Forest Service and they were talking about a bear problem. I'm like, well, I have a contact over at Bear Vault. And I was talking to Bear Vault. It's like, oh, we want to work more with, you know, governmental agencies, you know, getting access to bear canisters. So we had this whole thing locally, and it was on like the local NPR station where the, you know, Forest Service was got with, you know, the Rogue River National Forest, Rogue River National Forest got with Bear, you know, Bear Vault. And with this program, we're getting rafters and hikers rentable bear vaults so that's bears awesome. Can stop attacking these campsites.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like this thing, like, I as creators, we can facilitate these relationships. And it's so important to do, because, you know, Bear Vault had no idea how to get a hold of, you know, the National Forest Service. National Forest Service had no idea how to get, you know, bear education, because they're having all this trouble along the Rogue River with rafters and hikers leaving their stuff. Like they need canisters, but we don't know how to get it to them. Like, well, let's all put our heads together
exactly
and do it.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
That's the community mindset always, you know, like it's all work together to solve. Everybody come to the table, whatever side you sit at, and we'll find common ground. You know, like that's
exactly
on TikTok. We've seen a lot of that. It's my experience. You know, like I have people from both sides of, you know, the spectrum of, you know, politics and everything. And the thing that's so beautiful is everybody's here because of the outdoors, and we all care about the outdoors, you know? And I've been really fortunate that a lot of conversations in my TikToks have been pretty civil. I mean, one of my biggest videos is like only like, I think 1.7 million, but somebody was like, this is like the Trader Joe's of comment sections. Everybody's so nice. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, well, I've kind of feel proud about that, I guess. I don't know how, but it's like that, yeah, that community building. And I don't know how we can get people to a table, but I feel like it's the outdoors. Like if you put the outdoors as the centerpiece, mm-hmm. everybody can agree on keeping it safe, clean, and informed. Everybody yeah. informed out there, you know, for sure.
And it's one of those things like you talk to, you know, hikers like to get, you know, get all up in arms about hunters and fishers. But if you talk to someone out fishing or hunting during hunting season, they want the same thing. They want their campsites to be clean. They want, mm-hmm. you know, this land to be taken care of. They want the resources to be taken care of so they can do and enjoy the outdoors, how they enjoy the outdoors, whether you like, you know, necessarily what they're doing or not. We all want this area to thrive so we all can enjoy it in our yeah. own ways.
Yeah.
And it's just, if we put our heads together, we can do it. You know, get with your REIs and your Cabela's and your fishermen and your through hikers and figure it out, and we can all enjoy it and keep the areas pristine, you know, safe and clean.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. 100%. Yeah.
So what do you got going on with the future? What's kind of your plans for your TikTok, you know, and then there's also a lot of flux with TikTok right now.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of your long-term plans for content creation and camping and all that?
So one of my big goals, which is kind of like the main goal of Campthropology right now, is I get a lot of people, and I'm sure you as well, that people want to come on hikes with you, right? So everybody wants mm-hmm. to come on like a group camping trip. And that's probably another big question, I guess. You should do a group camping trip for your followers. So initially, I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. I really considered it. I was like, yeah, we can get this going right away, blah, blah, blah. But I really had to take a step back. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm advocating for, you know, recreation that's safe, clean, and informed, I was like, what if we get out there and, like, there's, like, you know, X amount of people and, like, just me out there? I was like, this could be a disaster, 100%, mm-hmm. you know? That's, like, one of my biggest fears. So I was like, well, I'm going to take a step back. So this year, like, I'm trying to build a team, like a dream team, if you will, of, like, campers that are already camping. So I think that my goal is to help people that don't have access to camping, but I need a solid group of people that are willing to help people. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of building a community right now. Like, we have a Discord going of people that are down for the mission and the cause to help people get outside safely. So I have some chefs on board. Chef Kyle's really big on TikTok. Some artists, like I said, I have a poetry background. So eventually we would like to, in 2024, my goal is to, even if it's a small 20 to 30, you know, people, or like including families, it'd be kid friendly, like a camp cella. So like if we find a campground, everybody awesome. Can have their individual site. And then like my poetry friends will be at their campsite doing poetry workshops. You know, we'll have a drum circle at one workshop. We'll have the chefs want to like teach really easy cooking recipes at one workshop, you know, fire starting at one workshop, gear walkthroughs, how to set up your tent at one workshop. So like every level of where you're at, you know, off-road safety at one campsite, that's kind of like my goal. And have it, you can come for the day because, you know, not a lot of people would maybe want to spend the night. You know, it's a group of people weird that are out there in the woods, you know, come for the day, learn. I would love to get some bigger brands involved, you know, and behind this mission that they can sponsor it. I would love to have gear like you can rent, or if brands want to give mm-hmm. away gear to people that can't afford it, you know, that'd be awesome too. So that's kind of like my big goal for 2024. But like I said, I'm trying to do it properly and doing a lot of research so we can do it without leaving a huge impact on the land as well. So, yeah. you know, looking for places like that, that's a huge thing. It's like, you know, it would be like conducting a business in national forest. So like, I don't know, permitting and all that kind of stuff. So that's my goal this year, is to research that stuff so that hopefully by next summer we can have a small event that we can trial this with and see how it kind of works out.
That's awesome. And you bring up something you can get a chance to talk about is the cost of gear is it can be very cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you, there's so much, the gear culture online is very much like, oh, you need the latest, greatest, this and that. Whereas like you can still go on Craigslist, Facebook groups.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'm a huge advocate. I mean, I saw a conversation on somebody's page the other day. Cause then you also have the people that like, you know, don't support Walmart, don't support Amazon. So again, I see both sides of it, but my personal standpoint is get gear wherever you can get it or however you can afford it. You know, like I think Walmart has great gear to start with, you know?
Yeah.
And so that long-term goal for me is people like, well, you shouldn't support Walmart because, you know, they don't support the environment and this and that. But I was like, yes. But like I said, I'm always saying like, if we care about each other as people, we will care about their environment indefinitely. So if I feel like I get what you're saying, yes, these companies aren't the best for the environment, but if we can get people outside, the more of us in this community, the more change we can do. So it's like kind of like, again, it's kind of like that whole little bump before too. It's like, get gear where you can, you know, and then eventually I'm a big advocate for getting gear cheap, because I have bought, and you're probably the same way before, we like, I've bought so many things twice, three times, four times.
I don't even need, I just.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, well, this didn't really work out how I wanted it to. And I always tell people, too, people are like, why do you have such nice camp gear if you advocate for cheap gear? I was like, because I put my gear through the ringer. I was like, a tent from Walmart will last you probably a lifetime if you're only camping, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year. I'm out there almost every single weekend, you know, just like roughing, throwing my shit around. Sorry, I don't know if we're supposed to cuss on here. Throwing my gear around. So I'm like, you know, I eventually get the quality stuff, because the quality stuff will last you. And then is when those quality purchases, a lot of those companies, I try to shop with brands, you know, that work with local communities, that support the environment, that give back to. So then whatever gets you in, that's when you can make those bigger changes, I feel like. But like, I'm like you're saying, there's such a huge barrier to entry for costs of gear. Like I'm thinking about going to my local library and saying, hey, do you guys have like gear that you can rent here? You know, because like I would love to partner with a shop and like get you guys some gear to rent to people, you know, or like with the share economy too. Like there has to be a website where you can like rent people's gear. I've even seen it on OfferUp, because I'm always looking for camping gear. If people are like, hey, you can rent my entire camp setup for X amount of money, I was like, that's cool, because it makes people money. You know, that, or else your gear's just sitting in your closet the whole year. But what if someone could, you know, use it while you're out there, you know, and return it to you? And if they don't like camping after that, they're not out, you know, a couple $100 on a beginner setup for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, so much of my starting out outdoor stuff was Walmart, because I'm looking, okay, this Walmart, they have Walmart trekking poles are $20, and you know, these other nice trekking poles are $200.
Yeah.
Granted, there's a huge quality difference, and I now hike.
Oh, with, yeah, yeah.
I hike with very high end trekking poles that, even though they're a sponsor of mine, Kanaka Outdoors, I still pay full price for those because those things have lasted that long. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known I liked trekking poles if I hadn't bought the $20 Walmart ones.
Exactly. And I'm that same.
I gave those away to someone else when I was done with them. And that's just the way it is. And the thing is, most people, you know, they don't hike 3-4 times a week like I do. So I need trekking poles. I have broken lucky trekking poles. I need good trekking poles. You know, that it just, it's that balance there, but that's the Walmart stuff or the Amazon stuff. It's an entry point. But then, you know, I get to give that stuff away to people, like, hey, you know, I have this, Apple, whatever their proprietary brand is at Walmart,
Ozark
Trail. Yeah. You have our Ozark Trail, you know, stove or campsite. You can have this, you know, whatever, and they'll use it. And they'll great, and then they'll give it to somebody else, and they'll go and they'll buy, you know, something that works a little better for them. But then they know, you know, they're not spending $300-$400 on something. Oh, I actually don't like this. So
yeah, definitely, and like we were saying too, gear is so like, kind of like customizable in a sense, you know, because like, you know, we're all different body types out there. Like, oh, I really like this cork, or I don't like this, or this feels good in my hands, or this. Mm-hmm. So before you spend money, you know, on those higher end stuff, you kind of get a feel for what you like, what your body can work with, and what feels good. So then it's like, I feel like that's part of that's the gear rabbit hole, where it's like, I love that process of figuring out, like, I have a need that I know can be met with a piece of gear. Like, what am I looking for? You know, like, it's really cool. Once you find, it's like finding, you know, like the perfect glove for your hand. It's like, wow, this has made the outdoor experience so much better, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's funny too, because once you find that one thing, it's like other brands will reach out to me and like, hey, try this. I'm like, this fits. It's already shaped in my hand. I'm good.
Yeah.
You can send it. I'll try it, but I'm probably gonna send it back.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of my stuff too, I've had for so long. Like I'm a big everyday carry. Like I have a purse or a bag on me every day. And I didn't realize that when a couple of my videos, people were like, yo, they don't make this bag anymore. I'm like, oh, crap, I've had this bag for so long. Like, I didn't even think that they wouldn't make this. I felt really bad. But yeah, once I find something like I like, I stick to it, you know, and that's why I have so much confidence in reviewing the gear that I do for my followers, is because I've been using it for so long.
Yeah.
And it's like the end process of like searching for the perfect light, the perfect table, the perfect, you know, blanket, anything like that.
I tie them with my for car camping, my Coleman tent. I'm like, I've had this thing for 15 years. I bought this Coleman tent at Walmart, you know, when it, you know, we were camping maybe once every 2-3 years before I got in the outdoors, but it's just, it's held up so much. People are like, oh, lunch. And then I have other tents brands have sent me, and I'm still like, I'm going to take the Coleman.
Yeah.
It's held up. Like, there's this one from Nemo. There's this one from Eddie. No, I'm taking the Coleman.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. I have an Alps mountaineering tent that I'm like, I really want a new tent, but I feel like I just don't want to buy one until something happens to this one. It's perfectly fine. You know?
Yeah. Yep. So if people wanted to follow what you're doing, see what you're doing, where would they go? What would they look for?
So this is another thing I'm trying to do is, you know, I guess like cross-pollinate platforms. So Camthropology on YouTube, it's my TikTok, it's my Instagram, and then we also have a Discord too. So I have the indefinite link to my Discord open on my TikTok, and that's really cool. We have, like, you know, DIY gear stuff, we have a deal spot, we have camp cooking stuff to just share your campsite photos, and a lot of that community in there. It's really small right now, but we have a lot of good conversation. You know, I'm kind of confusing to me. So if you're new to Discord, I am also new to Discord. Luckily, I had some people from the community. Shout out to Jasper on there. He's like, I'll mod it for you. And I was like, wow, that's cool, because I have no clue how to use Discord. So it's a really good resource, and it's cool to see everybody's campsites, because I feel like for followers too, a lot of people don't post on TikTok. So Discord was a cool way for me to see inside to their camping gear, because they feel more comfortable posting stuff on there where they don't have any videos on their TikTok. So I was like, wow, this is like really cool. Like, I'm really liking Discord. So, but it's Camthropology across all platforms to find me on anything.
Roland, thank you so much for coming on and not only just sharing on here, but sharing what you know on TikTok. There's so many things I've learned from your videos, just from car camping, and it's been really great to talk to you and see what's going on the lower part of the PCT where you're at. Yeah, just thank you for coming on, and
definitely, yeah, sure, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And like I said, it's been an honor, and I'm so excited to see your journey too, growing on TikTok and hiking. And like I said, it's a huge honor to be on here. It's surreal. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Big thank you to Roland for coming on the show, sharing everything, and just being awesome. We could have talked for another hour or two. I'm excited to get to know him more and see more of what he's doing. If you don't follow him on Instagram and TikTok and on YouTube, do so now. I'm a big proponent now. If there's a creator you love, follow them on all the platforms that they have. If they have a Facebook group and a Discord, or an email list, or whatever, follow them, because in the climate right now with social media, you don't know what's going to be happening, and you never know. Maybe they cross your fingers, knock on wood, their account gets hacked and they have no way to contact you. So if you follow them on all the various social settings, social networks, and ways to get in contact with them, if something happens with a certain platform that's made from clocks, you can still get their content on YouTube Shorts or TikTok, or find out what's going on their Discord server or whatever or whatnot. So big thank you though to Roland for coming on the show. Make sure you give him a follow. Thank you all for being so cool to me. Thank you to Canuck Outdoors and Gregory Mountain Products for sponsoring this episode of the Hiker Podcast. If you do want to get yourself a Gregory pack, plus size standard, or whatever, they got luggage that I use when I travel all over the country. Use promo code Andy15 at checkout, and it helps me out. It gets you 15% off. And the thing is too, if there's another promotion going on, the 15% is stackable off. So say if they're having like a Memorial Day sale, that then there's like a percentage off. My code Andy15 gets you an additional 15% off. The discounted price. It's really cool. So check that out, and it does help me out, and I do appreciate that. So everyone, you're awesome, you're amazing. We're getting into springtime, we're getting into camping and hiking season. Make sure as you're getting out there, you're being safe and you're enjoying yourself, and you don't have to go out to the backcountry to enjoy the outdoors. You can get in your car and go to a beautiful overlook. You can go to your backyard. I was talking with an outdoor brand today, and they were talking about, you know, the outdoors is your backyard to the backcountry. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. The outdoors is where you make it. You don't have to let other people define what outdoorsy means to you. You define it. You enjoy it. You have fun. As we're getting into spring, as the snow hopefully begins to melt soon, we'll see. And yeah. So anyways, thank you all for listening, for liking, subscribing, all that fun stuff. One last thing, I'd be amiss if I didn't mention. My YouTube channel is coming back, and I've had a lot of help from different people on how to launch this. Come May, it will be out, talking about different things, from my journeys and my travels, to steps to get into hiking. I've had a lot of help from my friend Miranda Goes Outside. Many of you may know her videos on YouTube, and she's been super helpful. Big shout out to Miranda for helping me get everything lined up and just give me ideas and motivation to do it. So look for that in May, but you can subscribe now. I have videos on there. I put a lot of my shorts on. I put a lot of my TikToks and Instagrams on YouTube Shorts. You can subscribe now at Andy Films and Hikes on YouTube. That's also where you can find me on Instagram or on TikTok. And if you want more information about me, just go to andyfilmsandhikes.com. It's all there. Anyways, all, thank you so much for being awesome and for listening to this week's episode. And make sure you follow Rowan and Anthropology on all the various social media networks. This week's episode of the Hiker Podcast.